Amen. It's good to be here tonight. I think I was on my way out, left the house, and I was driving about 3 hours, and I was thinking about all of the things that I had brought with me. And as I was going down through the list in my mind, one thing after another, I realized I didn't bring one tie. And I thought, how in the world can you go to a holiness church and preach 7 messages and not wear a tie? And I got into Ohio, and somewhere on the travel I saw a Boskovs, and I swung in. And each suit that I brought, I tried to match a tie up with that suit as I remembered it. My memory is not very good. And so if any point this week where you get up and I get up and you can't stand to look at my combination I've got going on, just shut your eyes. I called a friend of mine and I said, you know, I said, I'm on the road. I'm headed to preach a revival. And he said, really? I said, yeah, it's a long drive, 10 hours, 649 miles. And I said, I'll be honest, if I was going to deer hunt, I wouldn't be nearly as grumpy about it. Then I got to the church, and I was so excited when I walked in those doors, and I read this here, and it said, Evangelist Offering. But then when I got closer, I realized it was a building fund. I'm not sure what the Lord has for us this week, but I do believe that He doesn't make mistakes. And I believe that in my life, I've been able to trust Him over and over. And I believe that this week, He's got something for me. And I believe He's got something for you tonight. Let's stand together. Mark chapter 5. Very familiar story and passage. Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5, starting in verse 22. Let's start in verse 21. And Jesus was passed over again by ship upon the other side. Much people gathered unto him, and he said, nigh unto the sea. And he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell down at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed and that she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood for 12 years had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all she had and was nothing the better, but rather grew worse. And when she had heard of Jesus, she came to the press behind and touched his garment. For she had said, if I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned about to the press and said, who touched my clothes? And the disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and thou sayest, who touched me? And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing that was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of the plague. Dear Jesus, we need your help tonight. We felt your presence, Lord, in those songs and in the special songs and the congregational songs. And Lord, we know that by and large, it's our desire tonight to serve you. And we're asking that you would pour your spirit out among us tonight and that you would bless and touch and help and heal like only you can. And we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Jesus was on his way to heal Jairus' daughter. Everywhere Jesus goes, there's a multitude of people. Everybody is following Jesus, trying to see what he's going to do next. They just come off of the sea. He had just been across the sea where, if you remember the story of the possessed man, and he healed that man and cast the demons into the swine, and they ran and threw themselves off into the water.
And he gets on a boat, comes across, and here again is another group of people. Jairus is one of the rulers of the synagogue. He's known in this crowd likely. He's a man of stature in the community. And so it makes sense that when Jesus would come and talk to Jairus, that Jairus would be able to beckon Jesus to his home. I imagine Jairus walking up that evening and the crowd or day, whenever it was, the crowd parting a little bit to allow him to come to the front. He was an above average man in his day. And so it made sense for him to be able to do and help something for this daughter, this little girl. Jairus has beckoned Jesus and he agrees to go. But here we have this woman. This woman who is the complete opposite of Jairus. She's a lowly woman. This woman has been sick and afflicted for 12 years. 12 years is a long time. I've been married for 15, and I just can't imagine being sick with an issue that has been going on for most of my married life. It says she's tried everything. She's tried all the doctors. She's tried used all of her money, tried probably home remedies and Epsom salts and all of that amazing oils that some of you sell and have blowing into your airways in the house. I don't see anybody guilty of that. Oh, there's some smiles. There are some guilty. All of these things that she has tried and tried to heal herself of this affliction, and nothing has worked. I don't know about how sick she felt. I remember when COVID hit in 2020, that myself and the world were wondering what was going on. And I'm not here. I'm thankful that in that time, I did feel like the government was using it to control us. But I also knew that there were some people very sick. And during that time, I knew of a man that was just a little bit older than me. My build, my stature, my makeup in our church. He had started coming to drive-in church with his family. And he had gotten saved on the parking lot. And it was an amazing thing to see that family grow and start to walk with God. But one day he got COVID and he got very sick. And he ended up in the hospital. And like so many others, they put him on a ventilator. And he just kept going downhill. And it wasn't too many weeks, and he passed away. Our church group, our church family was heartbroken, and we didn't understand it. We were so thankful that he had gotten saved, and on his he was able to communicate just hours before he passed and gave a clear testimony. But we just weren't sure what to think of it all. I remember a few months later, this would have been in December of 2021, and people were still getting sick, and it was like another wave coming through. And I went up north in the north country with my cousin hunting, rifle hunting. There was snow on the ground, and he took me to the secret spot. Well, it was so secret, the deer didn't even know about it. I mean, we sat there all day in 6 inches of snow and froze, and I saw two squirrels. I might have seen one, and it came back through, but I counted it as two. I mean, anything dumb enough to live that far out deserves to stay there. But I remember over the next few days, I developed a cough and a tickle, and the next thing I knew, my wife was a nurse, and so we had to test all the time. She couldn't go to work if she was in contact and all of this stuff. And we kind of hoped that we would get it once in a while because she got a few days off of work. And I ended up testing, and yes, I had COVID for the third time. And I remember feeling more sick the next day and more sick every day. And it wasn't long where the pep in my step was gone and I started to sit in the chair most of the day and I just couldn't go. I had this cough. I remember I was splitting firewood and I couldn't shake this cold. I remember taking the log splitter back to my parents and my brother was blabbering on about something and I said, I've got to go. I don't feel good. And I went home and I remember putting the truck in park and turning the key off and just closing my eyes for a moment and woke up 2.5 hours later sitting in the parking lot. I was sick. And over the next few days, I got sicker and sicker, and the days got darker, and I felt more alone. And it wasn't long when I couldn't even sit up on my own anymore. Through the process of realizing that I was sick and very sick, I realized I needed help. I'll never forget one morning when I woke up freezing cold with every blanket in the house on and my lips blue, my hands blue, my legs blue, and the rest of me was as white as a sheet. After going to the hospital, they told us that I was the sickest person they had seen in a long time. Well, that's encouraging. At least I'm breaking some kind of records. I got some kind of antibodies in my system. I didn't get the shot. It was some other experimental thing. But I'll never forget where Heather said, "Do you want me to finally tell the pastors?" I was too proud to have anybody know I was sick. I have always been able to push through. And I remember when I couldn't walk even 5 feet that it might be time to let people know I needed prayer. And I'll never forget going home and knowing that they were praying for me and sitting in my chair and the call coming that I had double pneumonia on top of it. That's what my friend had died from. And I remember the dark and lonely feeling of being so sick and there was nothing anybody could do. I remember sitting there with an oxygen sensor on and seeing my oxygen levels in the 70s and sitting with a window open in December with that cold air blowing across me because of the fever that racked my body. I remember having my wife get out all of our financial things and going step by step through everything in case I didn't make it. I remember my father-in-law, who's a doctor, coming and talking to me about the options, if they would put me in the hospital, if I would make it, or on the intubator, and all of these things. And I remember telling him very seriously that, no, if I'm going to die, I'm going to die with my family around me. Not doing that isolation thing in there. I remember when he left, that empty, lonely, dark feeling. That's what I believe this woman felt, not just for weeks and a couple months, but this woman for 12 years. See, with her issue, she was deemed unclean by the Levitical law. She was cast aside and pushed out, and for years she was isolated and lonely and sick and hurting. She had a major need. We see where she turns from being sick. And I wonder if she didn't have a curiosity in her mind. Could Jesus help me? I've tried everything else. I've done everything. I've gone to the physicians. Could Jesus help me? That twinge of hope soon turns to action. I can see where she's steps out and looks out of the hole she's living in and looks to the right and the left and starts to wonder what people will say. But that hope started to brew. that feeling that maybe Jesus can help me, causes her to come out and start to follow the crowd. We see where she becomes persistent, and at some point she says that if I could even just touch his clothing, in verse 28, I shall be whole. She pushes through that crowd. And I almost envision her a little bit just making a swipe at it, and she's pushed back. I don't know. She may have pushed through, but I kind of think that it was a struggle for her. Anytime we come to Jesus when we're sick and afflicted and carrying something for a long time, it takes some persistence sometimes. It takes a resilience inside that says, I won't be denied. She finally touches him. Jesus knows instantly. He turns around and says, who touched me? The disciples say, oh, Jesus, you see all of these people. But Jesus knew, because she mattered to him as much as the rest of them. She mattered to Jesus just as much as Jairus did. She mattered to Jesus just as much as the rest of the multitude. He knew when she touched him. I'm here to remind us tonight that Jesus is still passing by. He knows you and you, you and you, you. He knows exactly what you've carried for a while. Matter of fact, he knows that you've carried it, and you've tried things, and you've pushed it under the rug, and you've pushed it aside, and you've tried to talk to some people. He knows all of that. But have you pressed through and really touched him? Have you tonight used your persistence combined with your faith? Have you said, I won't be denied, to live freely without condemnation? Have I given this to God and allowed him to use it for his honor and for his glory? The devil would like us to think that sometimes that we're empty and alone, that it's so dark and we're weary and we're wore down, and that there's no way that God could do it for you. I used to feel that way about preaching. It's no secret, I've not preached much. And I told God that, God, if you're going to have me preach, I'm just going to have to do it for your honor and glory. I can't do it. So you're going to have to do it through me. Simple as that. I can't read well. I can't spell well. I can't talk well. I can't do anything well but play the radio, and that's bad half the time. But what I could do is finally come to a place of full surrender. I told Brother Thomas this morning, I'm happy, or this evening, I told him I'm happy that he's here and doing this, singing, that there's no need for me to be miserable alone, that he can, we're in it together. When you're doing something for God, it's difficult. Oh, it'll wear you out. It'll frustrate you. It'll make you question, and yet it comes from a yielded and surrendered heart and life to Christ. People come to revival services. Some of you are here tonight because you felt obligated. Some are here tonight to see if this guy can preach. Some are here tonight because, well, you just didn't have anything else to do on a Tuesday night. Some are here tonight because you've had this need buried deep in your heart for a while. And that little twinge of hope drew you to this place. This woman had a big need. I imagine in that multitude that many people around Jairus and this woman had needs. I imagine that for this multitude of people, they came and they were spectators to see what was going on. But only two people out of that multitude of people took action to get their needs taken care of. I feel like sometimes we can come to revival service and we can come and spectate and see if the preacher looks good, sounds good, tells funny stories, keeps my kids from destroying the interior of the church. Just see what's going on. But tonight I would ask you, have you really touched Jesus lately? Revival happens in the heart first. Revival happens when we're earnestly seeking and desiring and pursuing after Jesus. Each one of us comes with needs. But have you given them to Jesus? This crowd is surrounding Jesus, the very answer for their need, the very solution before them. And yet only two took action to have their needs taken care of. I've been told many times over the years about different revivals, how that there was one or two people that held the revival off, and that they once they moved and once they broke, everyone else went with them. I've been told stories of horror stories of preaching in dead places. I'm not in one tonight. I can tell by your singing tonight that you know what you're singing about. I can tell that the majority of you want peace with God and are after a vibrant relationship with God. And that's why you're here tonight. And I give God praise for that. But tonight I would ask you, is your heart right with God? Is there something buried deep? Unforgiveness? Frustration? Anger? Lust? Pride? As the pianist is coming and playing something softly, I would ask you tonight if you would join me at the front as a congregation. I don't bring revival. I also know that night number one, I could do an appeal. I could sing 16 verses of some rousing rendition out of the hymnal. Beg and plead for you to come. But I think what I would like to do tonight as a unit, a church family, is come forward and pray together. To come forward and not have to worry about, to just break the ice on night one, that there's no need to be embarrassed to ever come to an altar. A couple weeks ago, we had an altar service, and I didn't want to go. I didn't feel like I had anything. And a few people went and prayed, and I went and prayed with them, and we were done, and we went back and sat down and sang a couple courses, and I had checked out. I was already planning my pathway to my vehicle. I was trying to figure out what I was going to eat when I got home. But God kept the service open and the waters were troubled. And a friend of mine stood up and said that when he got saved, that a lady had stood up and said she was going to come to the altar to just keep it open for the next guy. And he said in that altar service, she went forward, this saint of a lady. And she kept the altar open. And eventually, him and another guy went. And it was a pivotal point in his life. And so he said, I'm coming up to pray. And I thought, good for him. And as I stood there, God spoke to me. A few people went. And God spoke to me as clear as I'm standing here. And he said, Kevin, he kept the altar open. But if you go, you're the key to a couple guys in this service. I didn't want to go. But I finally stepped out. Actually, I stood up. I stood up and I said, I appreciate what he did. The devil's been fighting me hard. And I'm going to come join him. And my wife told me after that that people started to move. And we had a tremendous altar service. Another man stood up, an older gentleman, said, I've been dry lately, and I just want to seek God. Until it was all said and done, an altar service that had started with two or three ended up being dozens of people. And that's the key to revival. A yielded, willing, surrender heart to do what God asks us to do. And so tonight I'd have you stand with me. And I know that not everybody can fit at the very front, but if all that would be willing, come forward. I'm going to have your pastor pray, lead us in prayer. And if you've got a need tonight, just bring it to Jesus on night one. Night one, just bring it to him and surrender it. And moving forward, I promise you, we will have revival. Let's come forward. You don't even need to kneel. We'll just stand together as a church family. And let's call on the throne of grace tonight, bringing our needs, big or small, to Jesus tonight.